A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Site Cabin Podcast, episode 13.
Unlucky.
Episode 13, unlucky for some.
Yeah, but it's my third episode.
It's your third episode. Yes, it is. It is Andy's third episode. Okay. Yeah, Andy's, this is his third time. Yeah. Welcome again, Andy.
Thank you.
How are we both? What have we both been up to since we last met? We had Jack on the last episode, didn't we? What have you been up to, Dan? What's been going down?
Well, my car blew up.
Oh, Danny, what happened?
So I was driving home from work and a couple of warning signs came on.
Your car's not even that old, is it?
3 years old. 3 years old.
Piss take.
And it has done 52,000 miles.
Do you want to demonise the
Fiat 500.
Fiat 500.
Yeah.
So Fiat, what the hell is going on?
I was driving home from work and it blew up. So the engine's gone. Head gasket, all sorts of shit.
So unreplaceable, unrepairable?
It's repairable, but, I've just realised I'm saying all this. I've just traded. I'm going to trade it in and told them it's in fine working order. It's fucking nice.
You have to cut this part.
Yeah, quite.
It's a bit like...
it will be in fine working order once it's been repaired.
Yeah, it's going to be repaired.
You know the film Matilda, you know, her dad?
I'm going to get it.
He puts sawdust in the gearbox and sticks bumpers on.
I wonder why
on.
That he does that.
I presume it's something to do with...
Maybe because if it's grinding and it's maybe smooth the gears out just for so many miles. I don't know.
I have heard that apparently if you ever get like a radiator issue in your engine or like a water issue, to stop the leak in the radiator, if you crack an egg and put that in the water,
it will seal
the hole up temporarily.
Yeah.
Whether it's true or not,
that's
I don't
brilliant,
know.
Isn't it? Imagine
yeah, just get us an egg and put it in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works.
Well, if you got a Ferrari, just fucking put an egg in it.
Yeah,
it'd be all right.
But yeah, just anything else? Just the car?
Nothing major new. Been working on the garden, a bit of landscaping.
Have you done? You doing some decking, weren't you?
Been doing my decking.
Is that finished now?
Just finishing my decking. I bought some sleepers. Put all my sleepers in. I bought decking lights.
Nice.
Done all my decking.
Remote control decking lights or
no?
Multicolored decking lights.
No.
Danny,
they're from LAP from Screwfix. LAP lights from Screwfix.
Shout out to Screwfix. Are they any good? Are they worth?
Excellent.
You recommend them?
Excellent. They're reasonably priced and excellent. Very happy. But I didn't get them for free.
Yeah, I think really we deserve free decking lights free, Screwfix. So.
But no, I've been plodding, booking holidays. A lot of I've got a couple of stag do's and best men twice this year.
Your best man twice? Yeah. So obviously your best man to myself, I'm getting married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy, you're also my best man as well.
We're all like a
can't be asked.
Me,
Mike, what lie,
can't be asked.
Can't be asked. Yeah. It's such a shit job.
Being the best man, do you reckon?
Yeah, it's shit.
Yeah, but we can split it three ways with Dave.
Does every man not want to be a best man?
No. Definitely not. It's such a pain in the arse. Like, all right, to be fair with yours, you've stagged you, you've done a lot of the work.
I've done all the work.
You've done all the work.
Yeah, right?
Could
you write the speech for me?
Yeah. But with the other one I'm best man at, I've done a lot of the organising for the trip and hotels and accommodation and activities.
Is that for Dave Webb?
It is Webby? Dave Webb.
Well,
Dave
Webby was on the podcast.
He got the pants.
He got the pants and he also... In the Christmas episode. Webby came on the Christmas episode, didn't he? So shout out to Dave. Congratulations on getting married.
Thanks for getting married in Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Really appreciate that. Yeah.
Cost you a fortune, no doubt. But anyway, these things...
Thanks for inviting the wife and kids.
Yeah.
Could have just invited myself.
Where's Webby stag do?
Cork.
Oh, interesting.
Cork, I am looking forward to it, actually. I've never been. And Roy Keane's just recently, another podcast, Overlap.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call
it.
They've just been to Cork and it looked great.
Okay. Because obviously we're going to...
It's a beautiful part of the world.
From both Dave's has been amazing. So his is the 25th of August. Yours is exactly a month later.
Yes, it is.
So for the wages...
September.
It's great for me.
Yeah, we're going to Budapest.
Yeah, and then he gets married in October, and you get fucking married in November.
Yeah, so I do. Yeah, it's yeah.
No money left.
Cheap yeah. for me.
Andy, how have you been? What have you been up to? Anything? Nothing. Anything interesting?
Not much, really. Reading a book on the Russian Revolution. I don't know.
Andy's literally like the cleverest technician in sort of individual.
I've never
like.
If I had reading that, I'd be asleep within minutes.
No, it's great. It's a really good book, but it was mental. That's all. It's one of the things you just know a few dates. But
yeah,
it's fascinating. It's absolutely mental.
The Russian Revolution. Yeah. I know it is fascinating. I know I'm cracking a smile slightly. It's only because I just don't think anybody, most construction individuals, no offense, because I'm one of them, wouldn't really have.
I don't even know when is it.
It was the Bolshevik one was October 1917.
Oh my god!
But there was one like earlier, like about February, when he got rid of the Tsar, and it was like a central committee. But then they were all infighting for months.
Yeah, welcome to the Russian Revolution podcast.
It was really, really interesting.
Do you reckon there is a Russian Revolution podcast?
Yeah, there will be somewhere.
Yeah, fucking boring. I bet there'll be stuff about Ukraine and your fella over there.
Yeah, that's one of the things you read, and it's. Stuff's been going on, it's been mental over there for years.
Bringing it back to construction, there will be a lot of construction work after the Ukraine war.
Oh, massively.
Like any sort of joke here.
The Ukrainians are okay.
They've battered it, haven't they?
That's what the Russians do. They just bring artillery in and they just flatten it.
Well, if you speak to people in the who worked in the 50s, our grandparents and
bomb sites and stuff,
and they said like it was a great age for construction workers
after the Second World War.
Also because price work and everything like that. Yeah, a lot of it was day rate, and they had to get the economy building, but they had to rebuild Britain.
Yeah, and then alternative to that, I think when the wall came down in Germany, the late 80s, early 90s, well, going into the 90s, there was a lot of. A lot of construction people went over to Germany, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because they had mass rebuilds of their towns and cities.
Well, actually, they did.
Alvidesheim.
Before the war came down, it was in the 80s, there were loads of British lads going over, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that they could earn like 2, 3, 4 times the weekly salary over here, you know, and that still exists today in certain industries, but I don't think as much construction anymore. If you work across Europe in construction now, you're probably going to earn a similar salary to what you could.
The like cost of living over there is going to be similar to rates to rent.
I think, I think it's going to lead us into what we want to talk about today. Yeah. But also, like a disaster or a global economy or an effect, you know, like anything that affects the economy or anything that affects like a war, what impact it does have. I know we're going to discuss. Impacts of what today's episode's about.
I mean, just carrying on from that, we'll come back to the episode in a second, but coming back to that as in like global incidents or even economic disasters, you know, the very fact that the Hoover Dam was built and the very fact that
the New Deal
it was in America after the depression. After the 1912 crash.
The crash was more like the late mid-20s.
Okay,
More further, I think it was later than that. I think it was like 27, 28, I might be wrong.
What I'm getting at is the investment into the country
The infrastructure.
Usually starts with a rebuild of the infrastructure or a reinvestment of the infrastructure, the railway networks, the road networks.
The only thing I'd say, though, at those times...
Gas, electric, water networks, all of that.
They try and screw the people down on prices a bit because they say, and it does...
It always happens in a recession, that.
Yeah, and that's, you know...
You know, going back to looking at that, if you're back in the day, you know, you had mill owners, didn't you?
Yeah.
Huge mill owners. Okay, and they owned the mill, and everyone worked in the mill.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Right. But then everyone that worked in the mill lived in the houses that the mill owner owned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they drank in the pub that the mill owner owned.
Yeah.
And they bought food at the shop that the mill owner owned. Mm. So if you think about it, the labour was completely free because every penny that he gave them was pretty much coming back.
To some degree, it's like a circular.
Well, if you go back even further as well, like in classic to football, that's how a lot of the football started.
Yeah.
From Mills in the northern towns.
Yeah, no, it did. No.
You know, like the Blackburns and your Darwin.
Yeah, that's where it came from. Yeah.
Stockport must have
come. And all the money got, even when they started buying footballers, it got pumped back in. The mill owners were the owners.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is, in terms of global crash, global catastrophes, and then them spending the money in construction, a government doing that, kind of no, in a sense, a bit like the mill owner, in that
going back,
the money is going to come back to them anyway.
Well, that's why it works. Investing in infrastructure always should work in your country.
Yeah.
Because that money's going back into improving the country, and it's paying wages, and it's people are putting paying back into economy.
I'm the government. I'm paying you to work on the roads.
Yeah.
But your tax is coming back to me.
Yeah.
You're
improving those roads.
You're also putting money into the economy as well.
Exactly. So it's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah. And I think if Labour get in, to go a bit political there, but if Labour get in, I suspect that's probably what they'll do. That's what they normally do, is invest in like the infrastructure or building projects.
But if some of your infrastructure is in private hands, then they're not, like the water at the moment, there's big Thames Water debate, isn't it? Mm. They've been borrowing loads of money, paying dividends, and they've not been improving the infrastructure, and they've been actually been, you know, pumping a lot of wastewater into the rivers.
It's all shit creek, basically.
Yeah, I think things like your basic infrastructure should be in government hands.
Yeah.
As long as not a communist or anything, but the basic stuff like
transport
and utilities, they should be in the government hands.
Yeah, well, look what's happened to the railways recently.
I know.
Mm. I mean, I don't blame them for striking, but even so. God, this has turned into like a political...
we're going to get more.
I was going to say, like, I wonder what in construction the figures are between, you know, if you're Labour, Conservative. They've got to be Labour.
Oh, I would assume...
I don't know. I think...
Got to be.
Because being self-employed.
Let's Google it.
It's weird. There's always a weird disconnect because it's like... Who told me that about labour, about unions, and then also self-employed working class? There's a disconnect because we're all like, we go out there and we have to do it ourselves.
You'd
type
think
of thing,
it would be
labour, not together.
You'd think it'd be labour in construction.
I think there's a definite sympathy there for labour.
I would have thought it would be labour. Mm. Okay, so leading on to today's episode.
Yeah.
So today's episode, we thought we'd discuss, kind of like house prices, but the lack of houses in the UK, the lack of good, affordable homes in the UK, what house prices cost, kind of this sort of subject. So got a few little statistics for us to... So do you know what the average UK house price is today?
I'm going to say 330,000.
Okay.
I actually know this because I looked it up this morning.
Oh, did you?
Have you something like 280-something thousand?
Correct, Andy. It's 285,000.
He's revised.
No, I've just, because I knew I want to a few little notes.
Well, Danny, at least he takes the podcast serious.
Yeah.
Okay,
Danny just turns up, basically. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. The average house price in the UK.
286 or something like that.
I've got 285, so 286,000.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the average deposit on a house?
It's supposed 10%.
To be traditionally 10%.
10% still is. Yeah, it still is. It's what they ask for.
What's
that? So
what's that? 285,000.
10%
is 28,500.
So you need to find 28,500
so then that leaves you.
But I've got the
statistics. With 2,553, right? Roughly.
Danny's just doing
So then to buy a house on your own, you have to be on more than £70,000 a year.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
No, so sorry, this more is, than that. That's fucking mental.
And it is mental, but bear in mind, this is the average price of a house.
Yeah.
It's not the average first-time buyer's price house.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll go into that.
You can go a bit, yeah.
Andy, really go on, you were going to say,
Have you done stuff like from like 40 years ago or anything like that?
No, please.
Right.
Feel free.
I have some really interesting stuff here. 1983, so 40 years ago, the average house price was about 23,000.
So 1983, 40 years ago.
The average house price was 23.
£23,000.
UK Gov, so it's the actual Gov.
Yeah, so before anyone starts slating us about our statistics are wrong, have some of that.
Right. And I've gone up a few years. So then 1993, it's 55,000.
For the average house price.
So in 10 years, then it doubled in a bit, really.
I mean, it's just phenomenal.
But at the same time.
But at
the same time, the wages in 83 was 8,500. That's the average national wage.
Yeah.
But then in 1993, the average wage was double that. It was 17,700.
Wow.
So really, house prices and wages
kept up.
Had kept up.
Yeah, yeah.
But
which is important because if they don't,
you get that disconnect. Well,
you're left behind.
Let's do it now.
Right, and then 93, so it's 55. Then 2003, this is the big jump. So 10 years on, it goes from 55,000 to just under £130,000.
My God.
In 10 years.
Wow. So just say that again, but say what them figures stand for, Andy, sorry.
Right, so April 93, yeah. The average house price was 50. Actually, April 93, 90, up to 97.
Yeah, the average house price
stayed stable at 55 because there was a recession.
Yeah, there was a recession. And what was the average salary at that year, did you say?
From 93, it was 17,000.
Right. Wow. Wow.
So it's about...
Yeah, still...
It's
basically a quarter.
It's for average wage to average...
It's nearly a quarter.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the difference. It's a quarter.
Yeah. No, it is. She's kind of...
So now it's, a quarter now rent, it's a quarter. Not even a tenth.
Yeah. But then the big jump...
No, that's the deposit you're thinking about.
No, now. No, I'm not. Like,
so go on, carry on. Sorry.
The big jump came 97 to 2003. It went from 55,000 to 129.
Wow.
Wow.
So it's more than doubled.
So what, I mean, and this is sort of kind of rhetorical in a sense, but what caused that? What was it that caused that massive jump?
Labour came in, but
yes. Labour came in?
97, but at the same time, that I'm not blaming Labour, at the same time, the economy was improving just as Labour came in.
Yeah. It was a bit of a bumper time, I suppose, wasn't it?
So
funny enough, I bought my first house in 1997 as well.
I was going to say, you got a good time.
I bought my first house for 36,000, right?
Yeah. You could afford it.
And in 4 years, it doubled.
It's mad.
It doubled in price in 4 years. I sold it for like 70, well, whatever the double is, 70 something thousand. And, you know, happy days.
How much was the pyramids at that time?
Oh, yeah.
How much was the what?
Your age, your pyramids in Stockport. Like, I wonder if you could buy them.
I don't know what you mean, the pyramids.
Well, I mean your age.
I don't even know.
You're that old.
Fuck off.
It's a Great Wall of China.
I'm sorry, I was totally... when you said pyramids in Stockport, I thought you meant the glass pyramid in Stockport.
No, well, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
I see what you mean. Yeah. You're right. Sorry, go on, Andy. Go on, right, carry on. This is good.
Right, so... Wages in 93 was, say, 17,000.
Yeah.
And house prices in 2000, wages only went up about £3,000 in 10 years, while house prices
carried on.
Much doubled.
Again, doubled again.
So house prices doubled from 93 to 2003, but wages only went up about £3,000. They went up about, what, 18%?
18%.
While house prices went up 100%.
Yeah.
That's the big jump. There, that's the start of the big jump. But I think that's a lot to do with there's not enough social housing.
Yeah, there absolutely isn't.
And there's not enough housing being built at the time. I think the recession took a load of lads out of the industry.
Yeah.
And at the same time, though, I think house builders were starting to drip feed houses in.
Yeah, and if you look at one of the biggest building sites across Europe, private housing sites across Europe at the moment, is in the UK. I'm not going to say where. If you want to Google it, you can find out where it is, okay? Because I don't want to, you know, sort of annoy anyone or piss anybody off.
Yeah.
But the house prices on that particular estate, I think you both probably know which one I'm talking about.
Is it but quite a local one?
Yeah, but they're massive. You've got houses there at like 1.1, 1.2 million pounds.
They're not social affordable housing.
I think the cheapest house on the biggest estate, don't quote me exactly, is around £300,000.
I think
that's like an apartment, not a house, actually.
That's shocking.
And it's just frightening. How
the average wages now are about 30,000.
Yeah. Right, so the average wage can't buy the average house.
Now, just to clarify on the average wage, so the average wage does change geographically. We spoke about this before.
Now, and also, you've got your medium and your mean, and this is like taking into account your big earners and your smaller.
So I always want to make a point when we talk about the average salary and the average wage and the average wage across the UK is dependent. There is an average wage across the UK, and you're right, it's 30 grand, but before we get comments, because we always get them, is it also depends on your geographical location.
Yes, like London pushes stuff out of whack.
There's average wage in London. There's an average wage.
Same with house prices in London.
In Newcastle.
That pushes like
But then compare it per city, area, whatever you want to call it. What is the average price to the average? So like if you're the average wage in London, say, I don't know, I'm going to guess at 45,000, 50,000
a
year.
I've actually got it, but I can't.
What's the average house price in London?
Oh, that's
about fucking £1 million.
No, I think actually it's like
I've got it right now. I've got it right now. Right. The average house price, this is in 2022 in London,
Go on. £1 billion?
£518,900.
So half a million.
So over half a million.
So what's the average wage in London?
So you've got to be on 150,000. Really? Yeah. About that to pay.
Oh, by the way, that's to buy the average house.
That's more than the Prime Minister.
What were you going to get for London in that?
I think the Prime Minister's not on that.
Yeah, well, I'll go through if you want. Average house price in London, 518K. And then South East, 362K. East Anglia, 336K. South West, 281K. East Midlands, 238K. West Midlands, 235. North West, 212,000 in the North West average. Wales, 199,000. I won't say them all. Cheapest area to buy a house currently in the UK, average price.
Brinnington.
Northeast.
Not Brinnington. Northeast, Andy, correct, yeah. £175,000 in the Northeast.
100 and what, sorry?
175,000. That was in 2022. It might have crept up a little bit. That's the stat.
But saying that, that's still high for an average wage, because the average wage is still about 30,000.
Yeah, so even at 175K for your average house.
That's still need two wages on.
So hold on, the average...
Well, basically...
The cheapest place is 175,000.
Northeast.
Right. The average wage for the UK is 29.
29.
Let's call it 30. 29 to 32.
And I know there's going to be...
Call it 30.
It's going to be
low
30.
So 369.
There's going to be a lot of people on 35 and a lot of people on 25.
Yeah, of course.
Right, so 369, they'll give you, what is it, 3.5?
The goose drank wine, the multitude tobacco on the sweet Caroline. Sorry, it's an old poem. 369, the goose drank wine, the multitude has gone.
So you get... So
clap hands.
It's like a bus number, really, isn't it?
£50,000 deposit.
Yeah. Well,
how are you going to get that on 30 grand a year?
I suppose it's the bank of mum and dad's, isn't it?
So just to go back to house prices. So from 97 to 2003, house prices doubled. But from 2003 to 23, which is 10 years, it doubled again. But that's 20 years, not that.
Yeah.
That 93 to 2003.
That's the key year. The key period.
Because wages didn't keep up with the doubling of the
prices. And they've never recovered.
But I know they say we haven't had much inflation before that period until recently. But if you look at asset prices, then inflation has gone up. But wages haven't kept up with it.
No, that's it.
It's the wages not
wages
keeping up.
Is the problem.
Like goods, like TVs, clothes, food, that's actually kept pretty reasonable until recently.
Yeah.
But it's assets that went up. I don't think they include assets in the inflation price.
They should have done.
No. Assets as in capital, as in houses, as in property, as in shares, things like that.
We've been done, all of us.
So it's that, I think it's that the biggest one was the, but wages have stagnated for a long time. Wages should have been going up a lot more for the last 20 years.
But do you know what's the current interest rate in the UK today?
Is it 7.5%?
It is. I've just Googled it now. So this is as of recording today. We're on the Bank of England. Come on. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute, guys.
So they are mental lows, aren't they?
Yeah, mental figures.
But
I mean,
that, like I said, I know house prices doubled.
It's always been wages
actually,
catching
so
up.
Wages. It's that wage ban.
It's the wage. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But then you have a discussion about. I know people see houses as an asset and as an investment, but maybe are they actual a human right having somewhere to live?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there a discussion to be have about that?
Yeah. Absolutely. It should be. It absolutely has to be. How can it be?
I'm not talking about living in a mansion.
How can it be? Here's one. How can it be that you live in any civilized society, work 37 hours a week,
and
still can't afford to live somewhere?
Anybody who goes to work in any job, no matter what they do, should
be
able to own their own house.
They should, yeah.
That is it, or flat.
It used to be a two up, two down. She's fine.
I mean, the
and if you can't, it's bullshit.
They're not making them anymore, though.
The interesting thing there is what you just said there. I'm not disagreeing with you, because I don't really disagree with you, but I will throw this in. There are a lot of countries... Can think of America straight away as one, where the ratio to ownership to rented is far more weighted in rented.
You know, in France as well.
Yeah, quite a few countries in Europe. I think the UK especially, we do have a higher ratio of owned properties. Yeah.
That's going back a bit.
But I think that will be dropping.
It's more based on morals. I just think if you work hard, no matter what job you do,
have something to show
you
for
should
it.
Be able to. Some, you should be able to afford to buy your own piece of land. Like, you work hard for it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? A big problem started, though, I think, was the... which I thought was a great idea, was the buy your own council house that Margaret Thatcher brought in.
Fabulous, fabulous idea.
You know,
and it's so like many people,
stakeholder society. That's really great in democracy.
Yeah, and so many people took that option
up. They didn't replace those houses.
No, they didn't. That's the key thing.
The councils should have replaced those houses, built more houses, and it's like this conveyor.
Yeah, if you've got a million social houses in the UK, I know that's not, you know, there's more than that.
But there should be a place where council can give people.
A quarter of them people buy them houses. That means you've got 250,000 houses completely lost to social housing straight away.
And then you should replace them with the money that you took off.
Yeah, so where has that money gone? Where's that money gone? When somebody's bought their council house, where's that money gone? What's that money been spent on? It's not been spent on replenishing social houses. It's probably gone to some...
Well,
I don't even
gone
know.
To the, gone to the government for whatever government scheme. I mean, you could say the welfare state or the NHS. But I don't know. I'd have to actually go into the details of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't understand how you can't
it's
replace
a really
what... That's the biggest shortfall. That's the problem we've got, is that we've not replaced the social housing, that gap. Mm.
750,000 shortfall at the moment in houses in the UK.
I think we've got 2 million that we need or something more.
Yeah, over the next...
How many?
Yeah, currently,
I think. And then at the same time, we've only got, if I'm right, 5 big house builders, haven't we?
Yeah. They usually say the 5 big house builders. Should we try and name them?
Right.
Taylor Wimpey.
Redrow. Yeah. Redrow, definitely.
Persimmon,
yeah.
Wayne Holmes.
Bellway, I'd say.
Bellway.
Can we think of the other one? What's the fifth one?
Persimmons, Redrow.
Taylor Wimpey.
Bellway.
There is five.
I'll Google it. Let's Google it.
It's like the five.
But you can say, really, there used to be 1,000 house builders in like the 60s and 70s. There was loads, but they were all gradually banded together, bought out, sold out, and now it's a bit of a monopoly.
Oh yeah, we got them all set for Barrett.
Barrett, of course. Yeah.
Barrett Homes. So what does them five?
To be fair,
the power that them five builders hold,
be forced to start building houses for the land
across the UK.
To be fair,
that is some serious power.
A lot of those houses now, I believe they have a lot of those building companies. And I've actually been on a few of their sites recently. On every site I've walked on, they have to build an amount of social housing. Is it 25%?
Well, I don't think it's social housing. I think it's affordable.
Affordable.
But what's affordable?
But the problem is, what's affordable in Cheshire? Yeah. It's completely different to what's affordable in Newcastle.
Well, here's a great one for you. So, actually, you mentioned Newcastle. I was up in a place recently.
Shout out to the Geordies, by the way.
So I love the Geordies.
That's
a beautiful city.
By the way, Backer Grove's coming back. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's big news.
Yeah, Backer Grove.
Well, really, we should be talking about that for the next half an hour.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Deck. Oh, no. Sorry, that's a really poor... go on, Danny. Sorry, you were saying.
And I was on a site up in... Oh, God, where was it? It was north of Newcastle. And... about 30 minutes out of the centre, and a four-bedroomed house on there was $210,000, and it was lovely.
I bet that's
right. Here's
that sounds of you know,
and it was lovely.
Right, so bedroom, that sounds.
Look
right
at this across my arms.
And I was seeing somebody working in there. Right. When I say seeing, I was observing them, and
high-powered telescope.
And it was a nice spec.
How about this then for a start? Think about this. It's not really a stat. It's a fact. If you work for one of the big five house builders, right, and you're the main buyer for that house builder,
yeah.
Oh, we need 1 million packs of brick or whatever.
Oh, you've got it sewn up.
We'll buy 1 million packs of brick. Okay, great. Well, that's a UK cost for them brick. Yeah, the bricklayers that you pay to build them houses in London
is
different to the bricklayers you pay to build them houses in Newcastle because of the difference in average salary as well. So what I'm getting at is.
How much it costs to build the actual
the cost of the labour changes, but the cost of materials doesn't geographically change.
There's another one as well.
So the cost, sorry Andy,
yeah, yeah. Right,
sorry.
I know what you're saying.
But the amount of money that it costs you to build a house in Newcastle, materials, I mean, I'm not talking about labour.
It costs you more.
Well, it costs you the same in London, materials, not labour.
That's true.
Materials, not labour. So if you think of it, they've got it. It's a mafia, really.
The difference is the land price.
Yes, correct.
And another thing that I bet you've noticed over the last 20 years is they're ramming them in.
Oh, you squeeze them in.
You don't get that the old house estate in the 80s. Yeah. You don't get that space.
Do you know what's that?
Four-bedroomed houses, and it's like you've got a little garden.
What's that common phrase?
To get a bin through. You're absolutely right.
What's that common phrase? Are you overlooked? You know, if you're looking out, is it overlooked?
Yeah.
They're all fucking overlooked nowadays.
Is it a double aspect?
I'll be honest. The reason I was impressed with that site in particular. In space. It was space. It was a four-bedroom house, really nice gardens, really nice drives, front garden. I thought, do you know what?
it's not bad, this. I even phoned my wife and I was like,
Brucey, let me see, we're going to Newcastle.
And listen, for clarity, this absolutely is not an attack on any of the five house builders or anything like that. Well, what it is, it's just an open conversation about...
This is, as a country as a whole, you know, we've not tackled the problem for about 20 years.
We've kind of ignored it.
We have, because, I'm not being funny, it's the any party coming in to say, we're going to build loads of houses and your average house price is going to drop. That's electoral suicide.
Yeah, of course it is.
We're going to build 3 million houses. Yeah. But also,
but your house price that you're living in currently is going to drop significantly.
So you might, you know, it's going to stagnate for 20 years.
Yeah, it is electoral suicide.
That means your kids can afford a house.
Yeah. Well,
but also,
it's an interesting. It's fine. It happens to me all the time. It's interesting. Interest rates today, right now, today, 5%. They're at 5% right now.
That's not bad. But to be fair, historically, that should be a normal interest rate.
Yeah, now it isn't.
It's been a bit weird since the financial crash.
You're right. They've been extremely historically low
interest
rates.
And they've been borrowing
rates.
Loads of money on zero interest rate. The corporations and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, I think our mums and dads, we're sort of in our late 30s, early 40s.
Danny's in his late 40s.
Danny looks like he's in his late 40s. Yeah, no, Danny, you're still in your late 30s, aren't you?
Late.
Even though you do look
late.
10 years older than what you actually say you are.
Well,
I think
someone was surprised at my age today.
So what was my point? My point was that our mums and dads are fond of saying, well, when we were younger, our interest rates were, I think they went up to 70% in
Wednesday.
Yeah, but by Monday. 6% in Monday.
Hold on.
Wednesday, I think it was Black Wednesday.
Exactly. They were about, say, 10%.
That changes everything, though. And
well,
Dad
does.
Always say, right, because in 1983, when house prices went, in 1993, was it Black Wednesday they called it?
Black Wednesday.
Right. It was 94, that.
Right.
So it's
so
not the same time anyway.
No, so what I'm saying is, the average, you're saying here, the average wage was 17,000 and the average house price
was 55,
right? So it's basically
still three times
a quarter,
that, you know, yeah.
Right? It's now the average price to the average house is 10.
Yeah, you could
so
afford
it's not comparable.
Your mortgage with paying that on that
it
mortgage,
doesn't matter what the interest
it.
Rate was. It's,
yeah, it's
bullshit.
Still, it's, yeah, it's
it doesn't
right.
matter.
As of December 19, as of December 2022,
yeah,
the monthly mortgage repayment on an average detached UK property,
£1,100
more.
Fucking hell,
£2,041. That's the average mortgage repayment. I mean, I'd say that's got to be...
Burn my fingers.
I mean,
who the fuck's
people
got
aren't earning that, but no. paying that. I mean, I don't know.
Well, no, that's like the whole wage
no,
or something.
No, that's what they say now. For most houses
for families,
now,
50%.
Two people.
It's
one pays
be
the wage,
one wage
and one is the rest.
Yeah, and I'm not...
Got
fucking
that's
stupid.
And you're wondering why people aren't having kids.
Yeah, I know.
They can't afford them.
I know. I mean, and then you add on top of that, and I'm sorry, I don't want to like add misery to everyone, but... I went into the Late Shop yesterday, right?
Oh.
And a chocolate...
Revels, packet
a Galaxy chocolate.
Packet, yeah,
a Galaxy...
On, this really pissed me off.
This is really...
It was £1.85,
oh
right?
My gosh,
for one that's like that big.
Yeah, it's chocolate shrinking as well.
And it's
years.
Like... What,
no, the bars, they're shrinking the bars.
What are you even... You know, a pack of Space Raiders now is £1.25 for the supposedly
they
big
used to
pack.
Be 10p a pack.
Yeah, I know, it's a piss take.
And the average age of a combat soldier in Vietnam was 19.
Oh, brilliant. I love it. Yeah, no, 19.
Yeah.
Danny doesn't remember that song.
No.
I do remember that song.
No, but you think to yourself, how, genuinely, and I'll include myself on this.
How the fuck are people...
How are we all...
We can't.
It's a battle. And it's got, and it
well,
almost
it's
going to
affect the economy because nobody's going to be spending anything apart from food and rent and utilities.
Basically,
no,
yeah.
I think it might get to a point where everyone just goes, do you know what? Fuck it, I'm not paying it.
It's right.
What
I'm
are you going to do?
Well, I mean, people did after COVID, didn't they?
No.
During COVID.
There's nothing you
I'm
can
going,
do. I'm not paying it.
First of all, the government can't step in because they're in massive debt.
Well, but you get people in the government saying, this is what you should do. Give up drinking... What did he say, that guy? Drinking
just
wine...
Just drink water and bread and eat bread every night.
Give up drinking wine and cigarettes.
Well, they're the last people
yeah,
to
I
do
mean,
that.
They... Yeah, no, I mean... You know.
What, you mean because you get it free in the houses? You know, houses common.
You get a big rate.
It's all free. Every bar's free.
I think it's subsidised heavily.
No, bollocks.
I don't know if it's free.
I know somebody who's currently working in there.
I know a serving MP.
We all know somebody who's currently been working in there.
Yes.
And they've said... It's completely
it's
free.
It is completely
it's
free.
Bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, it's frightening at the rate that everything is increasing. And it has to. And that's why. So that's why they're raising interest rates to deal with the inflation.
They're trying to stop the inflation.
To calm everything down.
But there's also companies are taking advantage thinking, oh, I'll get a few extra P on this.
Yeah.
Price gouging. It's not just Ukraine and Brexit and all that, it's also companies just ticking that dial up of price.
It's Brexit.
Get a bit more.
Bang, put 10p
gas,
on it.
Gas has gone down across the world. Gas has actually gone down to a normal
petrol,
level.
Petrol has gone down. Diesel's gone back down. But it's we think what they do is they put it up and we go, oh, you bastards, you've put it up.
And they take it down a
and
little
then they take
bit.
It down a little bit and we go, but great,
not
it's gone down.
To what it was.
But it's nowhere near what it was.
Morrison's do that a lot.
I don't smoke. Now, what's the average price of a pack of 20 cigarettes? I'm going to Google
idea.
That.
No
that's because that's always a kind of like...
But everybody's vaping now.
Yeah.
You know what they're going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to ban vapes and everybody's going to be addicted to nicotine. They're all going to go back to the cigarettes.
Yeah. What's the average... I'm just going to... Average price...
I don't know. It must be like 12,
20
15
cigarettes.
I've never...
Oh, Jesus Christ. According to the ONS, I'm not quite sure who they are, Office of National Statistics, sorry, the average price of a pack of 20... was £12.84, meaning that an increase of 12.7% this year takes it up to £14.47. Is that right?
For 20 cigarettes? Right.
Well, that was in March 2023.
Do you know what? We were onto something years ago, though, because in school you could sell them for 50p a cigarette.
50p a cigarette, right. Yeah.
So we were onto something.
That's quality. I wonder what they're going for in schools now.
So you're like, a dealer. Imagine what it is
in school. You're a dealer in school.
Imagine what it is in school.
I reckon one cig in school now.
Must be a... Quid? £1.50?
No, it's going to be, I'd say £1.50 for a cigarette.
Everybody vapes though, don't they? Apart from the old like any 50 plus they smoke.
There's a huge sort of epidemic issue at the moment with school kids and vaping. But it's like, of course there is. Because they're on every single news. They've covered up all the facts, but what's displayed?
Liquid everywhere.
And it's all like strawberry.
And what are the flavours? Exactly. Yeah. Oh, pineapple and grapefruit. And
that's what they did with the old Alka-Pops, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, it tastes like Vimto or whatever. Yeah. Oh, you know.
All of these people, these industries, and going back to house builders are the same, they all know that the kids and the half
sweet addicts.
They're going to buy them.
Well, crack addicts, basically, aren't they? Children.
If alcohol came out now, if it was a new drug, it would be banned immediately.
Do you reckon? Yes, yeah,
because if the effects it has.
Yeah, if it came out today.
Historically, it's thousands of years old, isn't it, drinking alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, we're all drinking now, aren't we?
It tastes.
I love a burst in summer.
It is. And I mean, it's Andy, some of them statistics that you just read out.
Scary.
And thank you for doing that because it's really nice to sit back and have somebody else do it for a change, Danny.
But this is YouGov. The house prices is YouGov.
Yeah, yeah. No.
And the wages is national.
We've had a little.
It's one of the national statistics websites.
Right,
but
oh, sorry.
Challenge me on online or whatever. But it's not much difference.
We might just have to just stop for a second. Oh, no, it's the sound.
It's the soundboard.
Sorry, Sol.
Sorry, Sol.
We'll just we'll pause that there for a second and do it after.
Sure.
I think
sure.
Can we just get that going back a little bit, Danny? Pull it back to you. I think it's just pushed it forwards. Who's going to edit this?
I think you should keep this in. Keep it in.
Should we keep it in?
Yes, keep this in.
Right, leave it in.
Fix it afterwards.
Right. Yeah. So for all our listeners, the sound reflecting board.
Oh, I know them. Yeah,
has come off the wall. That Danny's knocked off the wall.
I think you need to stand up
because we did say.
Yeah.
It was the 30th episode.
Oh, we did say it's episode. Right. It's episode 13.
Look at that.
And
it's all going tits up. Come on, Dan.
Right.
This is brilliant. Right, we're back on. So yeah, for our listeners, Danny's knocked the soundboard reflector off, which has pushed the Sightcamming podcast sign forwards. So he's just trying to. That's on, Danny.
That's it. We got it.
Can we get that back in place?
Oh, God.
You might have to get that back in place, Dan. Because
tonight.
Dan, it's leaning forwards. That.
Right. There you go.
Now it's going to lean forwards.
That's it.
That's it. Perfect.
That's it.
What were we saying? I've got lost my track. Train of thought.
The average age of the combat soldier in Vietnam was 19.
Oh no, we weren't saying that. We were saying, did they have any more stats for you?
I tell you what, I bet they could fucking buy a house at 19 back then.
Well, Mum and Dad bought a house at 19 when they were in 1976. They bought a house at 19.
Yeah, there you go. A good little stat is, according to Total Jobs, the average construction worker's salary.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a guess at what it is?
It's quite 40.
It's quite high, a bit higher.
45.
Yeah. It's 47,500.
Yeah,
That's according to Total Jobs, and that's the average construction worker salary in the UK.
Yeah, I can see that.
I've just thought about something else. If you want to build all these houses, there's not enough lads and girls to do it.
You're absolutely right.
They're not trained enough. That I think that 97, that recession, 93, 97 recession.
It took a lot.
That took
out.
A lot out.
And I think 2008. 2008 definitely.
I think there has recently been an increase in apprenticeships.
There has.
Definitely.
There's still kids there who want to do it. There is.
If you are listening and you're not sure about whether to go into construction or not, I personally do believe it's one of the best things you'll ever do in your life is to go into.
You do something, you accomplish something.
Here's, and it leads us back to what we were first talking about. We're talking about house prices and interest rates. What do one people, unfortunately, sometimes what they do is they don't, they stop spending money on the house.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And it does happen.
They draw in that extra.
Right?
Yeah, they do.
We get it. I'm not scaremongering, but it does happen. It's happened before. But what that also creates in 4 or 5 years' time
is a huge uplift.
People, yeah. Oh, I need my bathroom doing.
Oh, I need my bathroom
I need
an
extension. Yeah. I want my roof doing.
It was called the boom and bust, wasn't it? It was boom and bust. So people would go bust for a while.
At the same time, house builders get ramping up again as well.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, no, they absolutely
but I
do.
I still think they're going to be building houses because it's still such a short.
I agree.
Even
yeah,
in the recession,
but it has
it used to
be
recession used to be effective.
It has to be affordable houses now.
It does. I don't.
It has to be.
I think there has to be. I think local councils now, the government has to give them a mandate to say, right, you need 1,000 houses in these areas being built over the next five.
Regional
five, 10 years.
Affordable housing,
and it needs to be a local government sourced.
Yeah,
and then also and don't use the big house builders. Just get independent self-employed labourers.
Why can't councils
they
form
can run the job?
Why can't councils
can
form
the job?
Their own construction
cooperative
and do it themselves? Why can't they do that? It's not hard.
You can utilise the local tradesmen in your area.
Absolutely.
To build it.
Local tradesmen in your area, you employ a few experts to work.
Councils have the land as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Or the government can give them the right to buy a certain amount of, say, green land. Maybe not too much.
Why do they have? Why do we have to go to the house builders for this type of building?
Yeah,
they can carry on procuring land and finding land and doing it themselves.
Detached and
why can't we build? Why can't we build rows and rows of affordable houses in local council land and the council do it?
Terraced houses are still, you know, they can be done in a different way, a decent model.
Fantastic.
Garden at the back.
Of course they can.
A small garden, a parking.
Fantastic.
They can still do it. It's a good community street.
Yeah. I recently moved out, last year, moved out of a 2-up, 2-down on a main road. And I loved it.
You did because you had loads of neighbours.
Because my neighbours, they were amazing neighbours. Yeah. And I think one of them's watching. Shout out to Steve.
Shout out to Steve.
Right. Steve watches it. And
love those sweets.
He worked at Swizzles.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put now.
Yeah, shout out to Swizzles. You do good.
Oh, by the way, Swizzles, you should follow us on TikTok because we started following you on TikTok the other day.
We'll
so Swizzles, you need to follow us on TikTok.
We'll eat a drumstick live on.
And I tell you what, Swizzles.
And we will have a box of sweets and we will.
Swizzles, the one in New Mills, it just needs a bit of maintenance on the windows.
What does
the factory?
Oh, yeah. The factory, yeah,
great building. Just needs, you need to
tarten
keep it
up
out
a bit.
It's getting to November. It's their busiest, period.
With Halloween.
Oh, really cold.
Oh no. All the tubs at Swizzles, all the tubs you see in Tesco's and bang, all done there.
That's
Swizzles. My neighbour works on the drumsticks. That's what he made.
He's on his third set of false teeth.
Oh, drumsticks. That's what he made.
In the UK currently, today, there are 5 million homes older than the year 1900.
Yeah.
Older than the year 1900. They last for hundreds of years.
1820.
There are 9 million houses built around World War II, just after World War II. 3.2 million houses built between 1930 and 1939.
Yeah.
And then it kind of drops quite significantly until we get to sort
post-war
of
post-war type of thing.
Yeah, sort of it goes up again post-war. They actually built about 15 million houses across the UK post World War II.
We kind of need something like a jump like that, don't
but
we?
But it's dropped to.
Are you saying we need a war?
No, we need a. To look as if we had a war.
You've been reading that book too much, mate.
But yeah, you've been reading.
We do not. I'll tell you one thing: we do not need a revolution.
No.
Nobody needs that.
No, we don't want a revolution.
That's the failure of a
off
society
with his
revolution.
Head. Poor old. No. I mean, maybe you could chop
a couple.
But
there's a couple.
What,
you'd
but
think.
I tell you what they did do though.
Chop his head off.
That's. I've got to say, there's too few people with a big slice of the cake.
Yeah.
What happens when you have that? That's when you get revolution. So make sure people have got a bit, then they'll be happy.
Why do we need billionaires? Why do we need them? Right, moving on.
Oh, okay. Right.
Danny. Tell me what that is.
That.
And have a look at this.
It's a collapsible.
It's collapsible engineer's rule.
Oh, that's nice, that, isn't it?
And that is fantastic.
So can you talk about it for a second? Do you know? Because I will let you. Well, the person that owned that is related to you.
It's in inches.
It is in inches. So half of it is, if you fold it in half.
That's not granddad's.
That's 12 inches. Half again is 6.
Yeah.
And the fully opened is obviously 2 foot, 24.
What if it's just above 6?
What do you mean?
Oh. Nah. Like, what if it's between 6 and 4?
No way. No way.
No, it's a waste anyway.
No, the average size is lot
5.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Four. So it was a joiner used it. I mean, I suppose anybody could use it, but it was a joiner that used it. Do you know who it was? Do you want to guess it? Who owned that?
I thought this was granddad's. I'm going to say it's
not granddad's.
Les Barlow,
correct.
Of course, he was a joiner, Les, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was Les Barlow. So it's our sort of relation through marriage.
Yeah,
great guy. So he was a joiner, and
have you got this?
Because his daughter Gwen gave it me to come on the podcast, basically.
Oh, that's very good. So it's pretty. Shout out to Auntie Gwen.
She did. Yeah,
lovely man. In fact, he gave me some of his golf clubs when I started golf when I was 13. Yeah. He was a lovely bloke, and
good joiner. I mean, we did have a row when we built an extension once.
He was right
about the roof, and he said it was out of square, and no way was out of square. But we didn't have a row. We just had a heated debate.
Ian mentions that a lot.
Yeah, he mentions it to me all the time. He loves it. Yeah. It's a pretty cool piece of equipment, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I mean, I'm glad
if you had that in your tool bag today, you'd still use it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
I think you'd still.
I feel bad now talking about 6 inches and
no, don't worry about it. Give over.
That's disgusting.
Les are like, do you know what though? Talking about Les, I mean, this is a bit dark. I'm not sure if Gwen will like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I know Sam, one of our listeners, and Ryan will love it.
Yeah.
So
shout out to Sam there.
We'll do it in
So the person who belonged to that, his grandson, when Les passed away,
yes,
the last two people to be with him alive, were Ryan and Sam, two of our listeners.
Oh, so you say
I didn't know that.
Are you saying?
Well, it's something suspicious.
Oh, I see what you say. Well,
but he's the young age of.
Oh, granddad.
The ripe old age.
Granddad, can you?
Sign this.
Bang.
You mean? You mean like a kind of like?
They've both got Ferraris now, aren't they?
Yeah, they both got.
Well, they've both just
£1 million houses.
They've both just fucking been to Brazil. So who's paid for that?
They have actually. They've all been to Brazil, haven't they?
So you know, your granddad's dead. But
we've also on the table. We've also got our new site cabin. On air sign, which
I am. I've got to say, right,
which does this?
That is good.
How cool is that?
That's amazing.
It changes color. Thank you to Ryan, one of our fans.
Can it go red?
Can it go red?
Dave, I find it very, very hard to compliment Ryan.
Why?
Because he aggravates you on Call of Duty.
I like calling him a bit of a dick.
Yeah, because when you play against him on Call of Duty, he wipes you out basically,
And he's sort of like,
I think that's the wrong
closer
colour.
To
oh yeah, it is the wrong colour.
Blue. Don't have blue.
Yeah, you can't have that.
But I've got to give him this. I'm really impressed.
That's a really nice present. Done, Ryan. So thank you for really that, Ryan. Good, we really appreciate it. Danny, what's on the table there?
We've got a laser level.
Oh yeah,
this is brilliant. Or if it's in Call of Duty,
watch out for our look at that. I mean,
look at that. I don't think. Oh, I'll put it there. So it's like, you know. Bang. Is it a laser level, Dave?
Yeah,
is it a sniper scope?
Well, it could be both.
Film is that kind of thing in? Is that like
so obviously it does vertical and horizontal.
It's a great bit of kit, that.
The horizontal line stays in place, the vertical can move.
Should we see how
Danny, if you just put it on the table and fire it at the wall,
you
should be able to move the horizontal.
Yeah.
That is great for brickies on a raft when they're trying to get everything leveled.
That's perfect for lots of different trades could use that. I mean, Tyler's could use
Tyler's.
It. Yeah. It's also self-leveling as well, so it will level so that you know it's level.
Yeah.
If you click the unlock button at the bottom of the... No, at the front.
In fact, there'll be a...
So now it's unlocked, so now it's self-leveling. So it'll wobble, but once it stays still, that's perfectly level. Based on the table, off the table.
Do you think there's a flat earther somewhere who's done an episode where he's used that to prove that the earth is flat?
Probably.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, there you go. But... you know, pretty cool piece of kit that that you may
laser levels.
You may use as a bricklayer. You may use as a joiner. Any trade, I think plumbers, you know, plasterers,
loads of trades
would use that. Probably not plant machinists, but ground workers certainly would use
ground
that.
Ground workers use them.
Like I said, when brickies use them,
it's flashy
the
now because it's out of level. So
you're not level.
No.
So it's flashing out because it's out of another book.
Great bit of kit.
But yeah, it's a pretty cool piece of kit.
Yeah.
We've also got a couple of bits on the table.
Specialist bit of equipment.
Oh, look at that. Look what Andy's brought in.
That gets overlooked. They're just earbuds to protect your ears because sometimes, you know, I've got a bit of tinnitus. I think Dave has.
Oh, I've got terrible.
Tinnitus, is it?
Tinnitus. Oh, it's awful.
It has, but I just ignore it. But just protect your ears. It's not going to concerts. It's probably machinery.
To be honest, it's one of the worst things I've ever had to deal with.
Now I've mentioned it. Now it's like buzzing.
No, I can't hear it now. But at night and stuff. And I'll tell everyone when it started. 2 days after I had the first
COVID
vaccination, tinnitus started, and it has never stopped in that time. And honestly, it is horrible. It's the worst thing ever. Mm. And it's firmly. If someone said to me today, and I knew that I was going to get this, I would never have had. Really? No way would I have it again. The
jab.
Yeah, and I'm not anti-jabber or anything like that.
No,
I'm not.
It's
I'm
just
not,
that that's your side effect.
But it's caused me that tinnitus or whatever it's called.
Is it? Tinnitus.
Oh, it's just the worst thing ever. You know, if you're in a room on your own, all I can hear is like this really loud buzzing.
I have. I don't think I've got it as loud as you. I've got mine started. This is a conspiracy theory. With a cocktail stick, when I stuck it into my ear to get some earwax out, and I went too far.
Oh, yeah. Are you serious?
It's your eardrum.
You've probably damaged
I've not
your
burst it. It was years ago. I did it. I was just like, oh, my ear's blocked. So I thought, as they say, never put anything smaller than your elbow in your ear. Stupid.
Well, yeah.
But I didn't go that far. I think I pushed earwax into it.
So listen,
it's a conspiracy.
To all those that listen in construction, put your ear defenders on.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I am telling you
and
now.
Eye protection.
Yeah.
I had a few beers.
Yeah.
As well,
I am telling
so,
you now.
Yeah.
Andy, I didn't know you put a cocktail stick
in your
ear.
No, it wasn't like a big one. It was just like just a little bit. And I think I went too far. Then.
Where else did you put your cocktail stick?
What do you mean?
Did you try it anywhere else?
No. Oh, for God's sake. No, Danny's got a bit of an obsession, this podcast. With
The other one I want to talk
that's
about,
the,
Dave.
Probably the stupidest
this,
thing
the
we've
extension
ever done.
Lead.
Right.
We've done.
Sorry, Fred. We've done.
No, we'll put Fred down. He'll be back in a minute. Don't worry. He
13 episodes.
Yeah.
We've never talked about that.
What?
And you pulled it out before and I thought, brilliant.
What an invention for construction.
Just
that
so
is
simple.
The extension.
Right,
lead.
I need to get. What?
I need to get power from there.
To there.
To over there.
Yeah.
How am I going to do it?
Right, just get a wire. Oh,
just get an extension lead.
Yeah, brilliant.
How cool are they?
It's still.
What?
Every site, everything, or don't care if you talk about 110 or whatever,
one?
Right, has this. They have.
You need a good one.
I'm not sure what it is actually.
Do you know how bad it is? I carry an extension lead in my car.
Do you?
Yeah,
it's a 25 meter extension lead.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
25 meters.
Decent.
That's like that's not a DIY extension. Yeah.
They do, but they also do like 110 extension leads for sites and stuff, don't they? As well, transformers and whatnot.
Yeah.
But what an underrated piece of equipment
it
that,
is.
That
it
nobody
is
really we just take every, we all take for granted.
So
imagine if that wasn't in existence.
I know.
It's a totally random one. I think 110 is gradually going out because I think batteries are getting better.
Yeah, good shout.
They are. Do you know what's weird though?
Go on.
I've got a good decent amount of power tools and I've got some battery power tools and they are good. But and this is unpopular opinion.
Go on, Danny.
There are still certain tools I would want.
Do you mean like your cross
full power?
My chop saw. It's a big argument, and I know the batteries have made.
Like
there's a Fez tool. I still want it as 110.
I don't think there's any way getting away from it that if it's a plugged in, whether it be 110,
you get that
you get a better kick.
It's not as safe.
Yeah. But it's not as safe, exactly. Yeah.
But I'm sure more batteries are getting better.
They are. I mean,
is it the 5-volt one?
Yeah. It's probably a conversation to have with Data Power Tools who follow us. Data Power Tools. So.
Yeah.
You know, we've been waiting for you to come on the show and have a chat with us about the tools and stuff. And actually, they'll say to us that they've been waiting for us to come back to them.
Yeah.
And we are going to organise that.
Like two people who like each other at school, but like, well, I like,
yeah,
know,
like
me,
we're basically
me,
like punching the shoulders
yeah,
at the moment.
The hair and all.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. The other thing we brought for the table, Andy, if you just have a grab it, was the light. So it's fully rechargeable. We're not trying to sell any of these, by the way. We just pretty cool, like
just
gadgets.
Useful.
Andy, don't try and blind the producer, but if you just turn the light on at the back, so there's a button at the back.
Oh, you're going to
press the button. It's a little soft button. He's struggling now. Under the charge. Do you want me to do it?
It's because they didn't have any in that Russian Revolution, isn't it?
You can't find the button. And it's under the metal.
No, yeah. Press it once.
Press it again. Press it again.
That's not bad. See,
that's even full blast now.
But you have these.
I'm
making you work.
Yeah, there are four lights. Star Trek.
That's a great episode.
So just with that, by the way, I mean, that has messed with my eyes now big time. Yeah. Jesus.
That's you're going to be seeing that square light in your eyes.
Great
now
in a loft. That is really powerful. It is really powerful. It's fully rechargeable, right? That. Again, we're not selling it, but if anyone wants to give us one of them for free, and we'll put it on and we'll put a link on. I don't care. We'll do it. We'll happily do it. But guess what else you can do with that? Look at the back of it. The back. You can charge your mobile phone.
Oh, you can.
Oh, that's good.
It's a USB charger as well.
Pretty good.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
That's good.
It's pretty cool, actually.
I bought that for the extension when we were building the extension.
So you can do it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so I was working on it at night time before my electrician came on board. And so sort of got the second fix in. I bought that because it was working.
Winter
nice
months, you can get an extra hour out of it, can't you? You know, quite dark at four.
Yeah, exactly. So a bit of a gadget. Oh, and last thing that we've brought for the table, Dan, grab it. You can grab that. I know it's a bit. Well, maybe it's not boring. Maybe it isn't boring.
Surveyor's
I don't
tape.
Know. What is it?
Surveyor's tape.
Surveyor's tape. Mm. So it's a. How long is this one? It's a. Does it say? Oh, 30 meter tape.
30 meters.
30 meter tape. So, you know, you get your normal average tape and they break dead quickly, don't they? And they get knackered dead quickly. Yeah. Whereas, what's the circumference of your head, Danny?
I don't know.
I think you've got quite a big head.
I've got quite a big head, actually.
What is it?
Turn it
around the other way. You've got inches on the other side.
64.
600 mil?
640.
600 mil. Big head.
You have got a big head.
Could we have an episode where we all measure each other's heads?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We could do that. We'll need that for the weddings that you're going to anyway, I suppose. Are you going to wear a hat for the wedding?
I don't know.
Not for my wedding. We're not wearing one for my wedding.
I hope not. It's in Greece.
I think we should all. You know all those old fashioned fireman's helmets that were made out of metal?
Do you know what?
I think we should wear them for your wedding.
Well, I mean, I suppose another underrated piece of equipment that we've never really spoken about.
Definitely.
Is the hard hat. I mean, we've kind of touched on it.
We slag it off a lot.
We don't really like it, do we?
We don't, but.
But how many
when
times
it comes
have,
in,
you,
it comes in.
Have you been walking under a piece of scaffolding and you stick your head up and you go,
on
a nut?
I've had a bit of brick hit my head off a scaffold and it bloody hurt.
It's awful.
It's them nuts on a scaffold.
Yeah. So can anybody tell me what the clock on the front of the hard hat is inside? So it's a printed, moulded clock.
I have
the expiration
no idea.
Date?
Yeah, it's exactly that, and it's the expiration date. Do you want to read the expiration date there? Do you know what it is?
1997. When house prices start to go up.
How'd you work that out?
So there's a number in the middle.
17,
yeah.
17 for the first.
So, no. That's the year, 2017. I think. So this hard
and it's
hat.
It's still going strong.
This hard hat, I think. Or are we the opposite way round here?
It just means you can't eat it after then.
Yeah. I mean, it's the British standards and all that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's either the birthday
and
or the exploration.
Honest, neither
or
do
the
I.
exploration
so you
date.
You don't check the hard hats of all of your learners when you're assessing.
That's on every hard hat.
No.
Well, it should be nowadays. That's the printed on it. I suppose really we need to get right what we're saying.
I think there should be a big
talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I Google this just for a second. Well,
there should be an electronic countdown clock on every hard hat, so you know. Going
it's
down.
Quite a, that's obviously fits me quite well.
Is it yours?
For your big head.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Hard hat. Expiring.
Let's see if I've got a big head if it fits me.
So if it's too loose.
It's too loose.
That means I'm cleverer than you.
No. Okay, so inside of the hard hat.
Oh, it's about right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We've got the same shape head.
Yeah. Maybe should we do a podcast?
See if it fits David. See if we've all got the same shape head.
Revolution,
should we do a podcast where we all wear the hard hat one day? Oh, it does. It fits, yeah.
We've got similar shaped
heads. We've all got the same shaped head. So the statistic for the clock in that's moulded into the hard hat is, the health and safety executive says, as a general guide, industrial safety helmets should be replaced no more than 3 years after the manufacture date, which is what that
is. Right, so you get a few years.
But always check with the manufacturer. Some manufacturers even recommend replacing the suspension in your hard hat every 12 months. So that is the manufacturer's date. And it was 2017. So
3 years
after. It's 3 years after that you should replace it.
I know this is one of your favourite stats, but Where did they originally come from, the hard hats? You know this. This is your thing, innit?
Do I know this? Do I know this? I don't.
Well, we talked about it earlier.
Have we talked about it?
The Hoover Dam.
Oh, did they come from the Hoover Dam?
I thought you told me this.
I might have done.
Before they actually started building it, they had to chisel out a load of rock on the sides of the canyon, didn't they?
They had to divert the river.
Yeah.
To keep it going. So they drilled two tunnels to keep the water flowing whilst they built the dam. Then they blocked the dam with rocks. And then they built the Hoover Dam. It's one of the greatest civil engineering feats in history.
But when the blokes were on the sides of the dam on ropes chiseling stuff out.
Yeah, is that when they invented
it? They got the baseball caps and they dipped it in tar.
Oh, they did.
I'm sure you told me.
No, I might have done. They did. They did.
But I didn't know one just worked. No one.
But then they created their own hard hat. No, so when the rocks were coming off, that they were, it's sort of loose rocks.
I'll ask you both a question now, right? If you worked on a building site today and you were given the option to, you can wear a hard hat or you don't have to, which one would you take?
I'll tell you now, it depends where I'm walking.
Yeah, or where I'm working. If I'm out and about underneath,
so
definitely.
If I'm walking underneath scaffold, I shove it on.
Yeah.
If I'm walking in and out of a house where there's scaffold, I'm shoving it on.
If you're up in the open air and nothing above you.
But if there's nothing above you, or if I'm in a living room fitting skirting board, it's fucking coming off.
It's coming off, yeah. I know
it depends on the situation.
I don't mind that rule that like Bricky's having next to him when they're on, because there's nothing above them, is
nothing above them when they're on the top left.
Unless there's something coming in on a crane.
Or even as a scaffolder, maybe.
Yeah, but when you're walking around site, I think you should all have them on.
Especially when you're ducking in and out.
Someone could just lob a piece of brick off by accident, or does happen, or a scaffold tube comes off, or whatever.
You get a bit of mortar down your back.
But when you're in a house and you're fitting architraves,
You don't need a hard hat. Yeah,
you can take it off.
Common sense. Yeah. Common sense. Because also in the sun, they sweat like it.
Oh, they're awful. Horrible. Summertime,
like
they're awful, aren't they?
On your brain or
something. They're a nightmare.
I am a fan of them.
There's nothing worse, is it, than that shout from somebody in the distance. Get your hard hat on. Put your hard hat on. Yeah. It's horrible, isn't it? You're like,
bit of
mate.
Discretion.
Fuck off, you weird.
I know. Well, I know. Yeah. I know. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they're doing their job.
It depends. No, they're doing
the
job.
Where you are.
They're looking after the safety of the site at the end of the day.
If you're in an open area and there's nothing above you.
And with all PPE, though, there's got to be a boots is a definite for me.
Yeah. And I don't mind wearing a vest.
But wearing gloves. High vis, nobody bothers with the high vis. As in, nobody bothers wearing high. Nobody bothers that they have to wear a high vis. I mean,
I hate people.
People are happy to wear a high vis.
Put it into ropes.
Oh yeah.
Do you mean like the little? Yeah. I'm not going to say what they are.
Like
what
for me, like a high vis crop top.
Yeah.
Then people do exist, don't they?
Yeah,
then people do exist on site. And you think,
what are you doing?
What are you doing, mate?
What you do? Do you know what?
You're not in a beefer.
Now we're on PP, right? I'm getting on it, right?
And people who don't.
Do you know what I don't get? Right, for me, people will wear that.
Yeah.
Right.
And that.
Yeah.
And then use a grinder and not wear a mask or gloves.
Or goggles.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But they wear that.
Yeah.
And they're stood there with the dildo going, right? And these fucking bits of shit flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And they've got a high vis on. Mate, that's not important.
No, it's true.
Your eyes and your mouth.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There is a point.
The high vis is mainly for.
I think gloves is
machinery movement, isn't it?
Once you got it on, you don't care.
No, that doesn't matter. I mean, you can buy high vis t-shirts. What do you think about them?
I don't mind them.
A high vis t-shirt. But you've basically got a high vis hoodie anyway.
I don't mind the t-shirts.
What are you going to say about gloves? Because
I think gloves should be optional. I think somebody asked me today. Funny enough, I was be careful what I say, but I was
depends
watching
on the
them, and they said, "Do I need to wear gloves?" And I said, "Oh, I can't say it's your decision." And the truth is, no, they didn't need to wear gloves because it's their decision. And it's to do with what they were mixing. And it doesn't state you have to. It's just a recommended.
Manufacturer's recommendation. Probably would wear them then if it's a manufacturer's recommendation.
But it's not. It's a recommendation. It's not.
It's not prerequisite.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a requirement.
So
yeah.
I wouldn't. But funny enough, here's one for you. When I'm moving dry timber,
I put
gloves on.
Danny, you know, because I changed my job at Christmas. I've been working a lot more with timber and machinery, but I've stopped wearing gloves. But the amount of splinters.
At the same time, though,
you need that sometimes with gloves. You leave that sensitivity when you.
I was given to hold a new form of insulation technology. It's a bit like an aerogel type technology.
Yeah,
it's only really thin. And the chap that handed it me said, "You'll hold it, but you'll hand it back to me very quickly because it draws all moisture from your hands."
Really?
And I can honestly can tell you, within within seconds...
It's like it's burn almost.
It was, my hands were so dry.
That's interesting.
I needed to put them underwater straight away.
Really?
It was incredible.
What do you mean it's like sucking the moisture out of your pores?
It drew the moisture out. It was incredible.
Oh,
it was that fast.
Wow.
It was frightening. And that was just from maybe 30 seconds of holding it. And it drew the moisture out.
But that was like a weird sensation.
Yeah, it was weird. It wasn't very comfortable at all. It was like an aerogel type insulation property, which is specifically designed to put into buildings, into like timber framed or cavity walls of buildings.
That's amazing.
Or the cavity area of a building that prevents any moisture striking through at all. It is an incredible piece of kit.
I wonder if that'll help with mould in the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Like, it's a bit breathable, draw out the moisture. Yeah, yeah. That's what causes, you know.
I also saw the other day, I mean, we're nearly finished, actually, guys, but I also saw the other day a brand new developed wallpaper that is infrared. So it's infrared wallpaper that you plug in that's got a very low-level current going through it. But it heats the wall. It heats the wall. It's wallpaper that heats up.
That's amazing.
So
radiators.
Well, in the future,
but it's like a very, very low current.
It's a low level. Infrared heats the mass. It doesn't heat. It heats so.
I mean, it's going to take 100 years, but gas.
You know, kind of like when you put your hand past the curtain with the crack of light shining through.
You can feel
it. It's warm there, but not there, and not there, but it is there.
That's what sets off that trap in Indiana Jones. You Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly that. The shadow passes through the. Yeah. But infrared wallpaper with heat. How mad's that? We'll probably do an episode on green technologies soon.
The ancient people who built that, I don't know how they did that.
You know what? I also want to do an episode on ancient building monuments.
I'll do one on pyramids.
Yeah, we'll do one on... Well, we'll cover a few of them.
Well, should we get an alien on as a guest?
I would love an alien on as a guest.
Yeah. Graham Hancock.
I'm telling you now.
Graham Hancock on.
Graham Hancock, talk about building plans.
Yeah, I mean...
Anthony Bourdain, that documentary about how it's an internal ramp.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think
people did it.
Yeah,
there's no TV. Well, there's nothing else to do. Let's go and finish the pyramid off.
And on that, on that bombshell, and we will aliens. Do further episodes about. No, we will about ancient technologies. And
I
ancient
saw a film.
Techniques.
I know who built it. It's a guy called Apocalypse. Mm.
Yeah, that's great.
That film is great.
X-Men. I think you're talking about X-Men. We're pretty much done for the evening.
Yeah.
It just leaves me to say thank you for listening and watching, Danny. Andy, thank you for your time again and your opinions. Always helpful.
Yeah, I'll keep you up to date on the revolution.
Andy will definitely be back on a few more episodes. I know he will because it's going that way. So I'm not even going to ask him. We're just going to invite him back and he's going to come back.
Get a better book now because that's fucking boring.
I don't want to, leave him wanting more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe
a different book though next time.
Yeah, maybe.
A bit more interesting.
Yeah, let's read
the
something.
Revolution, that's like one of the most climatic things in
nobody cares.
History.
I've fallen asleep. Oh, no.
I read a great science fiction. Well, all
right. Right, let's wrap this up. We'll be back next month, as always, of course. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Really appreciate. Look out on TikTok, our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter for all our updates and videos.
Local post office.
Please make sure you give us a like, give us a follow on, and subscribe to us on YouTube, as always, of course. Danny's just pointed at all the things, social media things there. That wasn't great, but doesn't matter. As in, that speech wasn't great. The podcast was good. I really enjoyed it tonight, guys.
It's good. It's a bit political. And
yeah, a bit of everything. Bit of everything.
Yeah.
So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next month. Goodbye.